Open your Bibles to Hebrews. Let's start again from Hebrews. We are looking at principles of faith. We started last week. It's a journey of many series. We'll go as far as we can go until the Holy Spirit tells us to shift to another topic. Hebrews chapter 11. And I'd like someone to read for me. Verse 1 to 3. Hebrews 11. Someone was not here last week. Hebrews 11, 1 to 3. Yes? Yes, thank you. Hebrews 11, 1 to 3. Please follow in your Bible. You're going to receive the word of God. It's hot and sizzling. It's not to entertain you. It's to feed your spirit and to cleanse your soul. Hallelujah. That's what the word does. It feeds your spirit and cleanses your soul, your mind, your emotions. Purifies it. Yes, Hebrews 11, verse 1 to 3.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Yes.
The evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith we understand that the world were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible.
Amen. And last week we were trying to tell you that everything material, everything that was created came from where? From the Word. Amen? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. All things were made by Him. There is nothing that exists without Him. Amen? In Him was life. And the life was the light of man. The Word. Yeah? The Word is what made anything exist. All the raw materials. You know, one day it just dawned on me that there is nothing you are producing in this world. It's coming from the ground. Have you found anything that is not coming from the ground? Can you tell me anything that didn't come from the ground? Anything that didn't come from the ground? Think about it. Think of anything you see, you own, you have, or you like that didn't come from the ground. Anyone? Yes? Sorry? Okay. Yeah, that's fair enough. What are the components of hair? You know the components of the hair? Okay. Anybody tell him? Oxygen? You should know that. Yes, what else? Carbon? Hydrogen? Any other element in the hair? Anybody? Water vapor? Yes, any other one? Components of the hair. Is everyone supposed to say nitrogen? Is nitrogen there? In traces, yeah. All these are metals. Yeah? Of course, in gaseous state. Isn't it? All those metals can also be found from the ground. Yeah? Amen? Water. Where did water come from? It's still down. Amen? Everything you celebrate, everything that you think is special. So people like jewelry. They are dying for it. Where did it come from? The ground. And I told you the last time that the jewelry on earth is poor quality. I told you. Because the gold in heaven is transparent. It's in Revelation. Check it. Revelation 21. He said that gold is clear as crystal. Amen. You know, with God, there's nothing to hide. Amen. The floor in heaven, the floor of the New Jerusalem is transparent. It's clear as crystal. Nothing to hide. Hallelujah. That's why the light from the throne of God can shine through the city. Amen. Nothing to what? Hide. So, but everything material came from the Word. Yeah? In the beginning, there was nothing. What did we have? The Word. Hallelujah. The Word is the foundation of everything material. Can you say that with me? Say the Word produced everything. And is still producing. Amen. You know, we talk about seed. We plant seed in the ground. And then what happens after that? Water and sunlight. And then before you know it, you have your apple tree. Anybody like apple? Yeah? What's your best fruit? Anyone? Fruit? Grapes. Yes, thank you for that. Any other one? I love mango. You plant seed and it produces. But you know what the Bible shows us in the parable of the sower? You know the parable of the sower? The sower went out to sow what? Seed. Then Jesus is interpreting the parable of the sower. He said the seed is what? What is the seed? Come on, church. It's the word. Amen? The seed is what? It's the word. The word produces everything. Amen? That is how powerful the word of God is. And that's why God does not bother himself to reveal himself to you physically. Because when you have his word, yeah? That word, yeah? Represents God. Amen. Let me ask some questions. We are teaching about faith. I want to ask some questions. So, how can we define faith? What is faith? Where's my mic? Yeah, you're going to start. Sorry. Baptism of fire. That's what we do in this church. What is faith? Just give us any definition you have of faith. Someone came to say, you know, you say you have faith. What is faith? I don't know faith. Do you know faith? What is faith? Tell us. Give us just a short sentence. Just in your own words.
Yeah. Faith is believing God.
Okay, that's good enough. That's good enough. Faith is what? Believing God. I take that. Yes. Another answer. What is faith? Come on, church. What is faith? You say you have faith. I know people need to say, I have faith. I know. Why didn't God answer? I had faith. What is faith?
Undoubtable belief in something.
Believe? Yeah. Believe in something is faith. I take it. I agree. Yes? More? I'm looking for diversity. What is faith? Yes. Thank you.
Have confidence in someone.
Having confidence in something. You know, for you to have confidence in something, you believe. When you lose confidence in something, you stop believing. You lost faith. Amen? Sometimes you have a relationship and you are trusting someone, you are believing in them, but at a point, they've disappointed you so much. Or maybe they didn't. Maybe the devil just deceived you. But you lost faith in them. You lost your confidence. Yes? What is faith?
Yeah, unwavering belief in something happening for you, regardless of negative evidence.
Yes, negative circumstances. That I like that because unwavering. Because if you say, like, you can say, I believe. And then next moment, you don't believe. And next moment, you believe. That's not genuine faith. So say you have genuine faith. It's unwavering. Yeah? It's firm. It's consistent belief. Yeah? In something. That's faith. But if you believe today and you don't believe tomorrow, and you believe today and you don't believe, that's not faith. Yeah? That's not faith. That's gambling. So say, I believe I will win the... I didn't tell you to play lottery. Well, I need to clarify. But so say, I believe I will win the lottery. Is that faith? Well, yeah, they can believe. But the next day, they may start to say, oh, I'm not sure anymore. That's not faith. Okay, yes, faith. What is faith?
Having complete trust.
Having complete. So that comes back to complete. You're welcome, my brother. Good to see you. Having complete and unwavering belief or trust. Yes? Anybody wants to go deeper? What is faith? We are still on the level of belief and trust. It's correct. But can we go deeper? What is faith? Come on, church. Second row or third row.
So much trust and confidence that your behavior reflects what you
Yeah.
Do.
So, faith, we are going deeper. Faith is not just belief and trust, but faith is so complete, so strong belief and trust that you are living based on it. I always try to say, your values is a reflection of your belief system. It doesn't matter what you tell me. If I know the things you value, it tells me the things you really believe. Yeah? So, check your values. Your values. Sometimes you may not know. You say, I believe, you know, in serving God. I believe in loving God. I believe in sacrificing for God. Check the things you pursue that you could die for. Yeah? Those are the things you really believe in. You see? Those are the things you really believe in. And if they are wrong, you need to correct it because your values reflect your belief system. You live based on what you believe. There is nobody on earth without a belief. Even the atheist. Okay? He said, I don't believe in God. Yeah, but they believe in something. Because if you don't believe in something, you have no value. If you can have a value, you have a belief system. And usually, people try to pass on their values to their children. You know? Even the atheist. He must try to convince those children that there is no God. He said, why is there no God? Because that's what I believe. Yes? What is faith?
Guaranteed occurrence.
Yes, like, you see, where you just touched now, yeah? You just touched a good nerve. Because that's where I'm going to next. Amen? About faith. Okay? Now, KJV, give me faith. Hebrews 11:1, faith, KJV. I just want to take you deeper. That's my job. Hebrews 11:1. King James or New King James? When someone says KJV, you can do New King James. It's okay. I had that already. I'll still come to you. We'll continue that journey of last week. Hebrews 11:1.
KJV.
Yes.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for.
The evidence of things not
and
seen.
And the evidence of things what?
Not seen.
Not seen. And I want to say something to you. That while sort of meditating for this sermon or this series, I just felt that definition did not satisfy me. You will see why. Because faith itself needs substance. Faith itself needs evidence. If there's no evidence, your faith is blind. What did I say? I say if you have no evidence, your faith is what? Let me ask you a question. How do you know that your salary has been paid? Let's ask the young person. If you go to work, you work, you tried, you've given your, you know, you're studying, but still tried. And then, end of the month or end of the week, I don't know how it works. You want to be sure that they have paid you. How can you confirm?
You check your bank account.
And then you confirm. So your bank statement. Your what? What confirms that your salary has been paid? Is it your boss? I said, what confirms that your salary has been paid? Is it your boss? What confirms? Wait. Let me hear a special voice to say it. You want to confirm that money salary has been paid. What confirms it?
Is the bank statement.
Is the bank statement. The bank makes a statement and you are satisfied that your salary has been what? Paid. Hello? Do you need to call your boss? It's just bank statement. Okay, when will you call your boss? When will you call your boss? Sorry? So that,
okay.
If you look at this bank statement and something is not adding up, then the temperature of your blood will rise. Hello? You worked, then you looked at your bank statement and it's not there. Yeah? Tabiji, what will you do?
HR straight.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So, I want to give you a definition of faith that I feel is more appropriate. Then, I will now take substance and evidence and show you how you can connect it to faith. So open your Bible to Hebrews 11:1, English Standard Version. If you don't like that, go to Revised Standard Version, but that's an older version I read in secondary school. That was the first Bible I bought with my pocket money. English Standard Version, Hebrews 11:1. What is faith? Yes. Come on, church. Who's ready? Let's try someone else. Yes. Just a minute. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Okay, I'll pass it to you. Hebrews 11:1.
Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for.
Faith is what?
Assurance.
The assurance of things hoped for. And what?
The conviction of things not seen.
And the conviction of things not seen. Hallelujah. You know, that is a guarantee. You see, faith is the assurance. Faith is being sure. Someone say, faith is being sure about what you are hoping for. Hallelujah. Faith is assurance. Faith is conviction. You don't need to have faith in God to have conviction. But anything you have a conviction about is a belief. You can see evidence, but you still form a conviction. Hello? If I see something is black, like Meredith's phone, you know, she switched it. So now you have white text and black background. Yeah? Let me check mine. Amen. Let me see my Bible. See what mine is. Yes, it's like yours. You know, we can switch it around, yeah? So you saw it. You've seen a fact, haven't you? Can you see this fact? My text is in white and the background is in black. Let me try to switch it. Well, Sean, come and help me now. Let's switch it, you know, into the other mode. Is it night mode? Okay. Thank you. You see that? The same phone. Yeah? It's not the same phone. But now, text is what? Black. And background is? Amen. Someone said, you know, when you can see, you don't need faith. But when you can't see, you need faith. Yeah, that's correct in the material realm. But in the broadest realm, that's not true. When you can't see, you can't have faith. Hello? What's the color of this? Is it purple?
No.
Is it indigo?
No.
What is it?
Black.
So I formed a conviction right now that our top is black. Amen? You form conviction based on evidence. Hello? You form conviction based on what? The evidence may be true, it may be false, but the evidence satisfied you enough to form a conviction on it. Amen? So when a magician comes before you now, by the way, I told all magic is about lying and deception. Please repeat and say, all magic is about deception. Some deceptions are based on just mental tricks. But some deception, which is spiritual deception, is based on witchcraft. Yeah? So witches and wizards, they are magicians. They deceive you through spiritual manipulation. Yeah? All magic is deception. You say that, we say all magic is deception. So you don't have any basis going to mess around with hypnotism or palm reading. They are all, or the spirit of divination. It's a wicked spirit. It's there to deceive and destroy. Amen? It's there to do what? And if you go and consult with them, even they seem to be solving your problem, they will take more from you than they give to you. Amen? The spirit of divination is after your destiny. That's why you should not mess with it. Amen? So, in magic, you are seeing something. Yeah? You can see it. There's evidence before your very eye that the man cut the rabbit into two. You saw it on video. It was there. If I know video, you sat there. By the way, don't go and watch magic. You know why? Because in an advanced magic show where there's a large audience, there's spiritual manipulation. Amen? It's not just mental. There's mental magic, but there's spiritual. Once there's a large audience, there's hypnotism. You will see. But the evidence you are seeing is false. And you will form a conviction because you saw evidence. Are you with me? You can't form a conviction without evidence. Now, your evidence doesn't have to be visual. It can be oral. Someone told you something. Don't keep saying, you know, this is what Pastor Bear did yesterday. It happened to me before. And it's not true. Then the other person, based on what they told them, formed the conviction of Pastor Ben. And they got very angry with Pastor Ben. And I've not done anything wrong. I even have evidence. So sometimes you hear wrongly, but based on the information you received, you form a conviction. It's faith. Faith is conviction. Faith is assurance. You can't form a conviction without evidence. If you do form a conviction without evidence, it's stupidity. You just woke up in the morning and say, it's going to rain today. The question is, on what basis? Okay, so I saw it in my dream. Okay, that's fair enough. That's evidence. You saw it. So say, oh, why do you think rain will go? Because I don't want to go to work. That one is not evidence. It's a wish. Yeah? And you know what happens to wishes? That if wishes were what? Were us, what will happen? Lazy people, we write. Amen. So I'm teaching you faith from a different level. Faith is assurance about the things we hope for. It's not just to be optimistic and hope against hope. Look, if you have hope, it's good. Some people don't have hope. It's good to have hope. Hope is a good thing. Say hope. Say hope is a good thing. You see, when you lose hope, you'll be depressed. And you don't want to be what? Depressed. You need hope. Hallelujah. You need to see the ray of sunshine shining through the darkness. Hope is good. To be optimistic, to be positive, yeah, is what? Is good. Amen? Hallelujah. But it's not enough. Because hopes can be dashed if there's no substance. Amen? Faith is assurance about what you hope for. And faith is conviction. You see, when you can't see something, you need conviction that is real. So when I check my bank statement, when I open my bank statement, do you know how to open your bank statement? Yeah? And I see what I need to see, I'm settled. Anybody settled? When you see what you need to see. When you see what you don't need to see. When you see what you don't want to see, are you settled? Amen. You don't need to go and discuss with the bank manager. All you need is what? Your bank statement. So, to have faith, you need evidence. Amen? To believe something, you need what? Evidence. But that evidence doesn't have to be what? Visual. It can be written. Your bank statement in the old times was printed and posted. Yeah? What about now? Yeah? It's online. Amen? Praise the Lord. There was the days of telephone banking. I don't know if it's still popular, but it was more popular before the smartphones. So you are not seeing me, but you made a call. And they say, what's my balance? And then they tell you. Then you are happy. It's evidence. It doesn't have to be visual. Praise the Lord. It can be written. It can be audio. It doesn't even have to be that. It can be something you smell. You know, like when someone cooks a nice, you know, meal. There are many nice meals. Yeah. One day I ate rice. I ate rice the day before. So this is that I'm not eating rice, no matter what happens. Even the one we ate, I'm not going to eat rice today. Amen. Because you need diversity. Praise the Lord. So, to have a strong faith in God, you need evidence. Amen? And to have a strong conviction about God, you need what? You need, in fact, technically, you need a God statement. Amen? Your salary is confirmed based on a bank statement. And you are settled. Amen? The reality of God is confirmed based on the God statement. The reason why you can trust your bank statement is that you believe that bank statement is true. Amen? The moment you start doubting it, bank statements have no meaning anymore. Amen? The same reason why you can trust the God statement is because you believe that that God statement is what? It's true. And if it is true, you have assurance. If it is true, you have what? Assurance. So the question is this. What is the evidence of faith? What is the substance of faith? You know the answer. Where's the mic? Thank you. Do you want to have a go? What is the substance of faith? What is the evidence of faith? I mean faith in God. Yes? Have a go. You know it. You want to have a go? You're not sure? Pass it on. What is the substance of faith in God?
His promises.
Yes. What is the evidence of faith in God?
When something happens.
That's correct, by the way. I just wanted someone to reframe it.
When something happens that has no other explanation apart from it being God, so mm-hmm. you can have faith with that.
Yeah, that's a bit speculative. But maybe not. Yes? Did I see your hand? Do you want to say something? Okay. What? That could be true. Yeah? But that's not always true. You understand? You know that something that's always true, some are often true, some are seldom true, I remember, and some are never true. God cannot, you know the other day I talked about these things that God cannot do. Yeah? God cannot sleep. Hello? God cannot what? Can you imagine? He can't. He's in the Bible. He said he never sleeps. Oh. He never sleeps and he never slumbers. He never tires of hearing our prayers. Though we are weak, he becomes stronger. So rest in his love. Cast all your cares on him. Imagine you wanted to pray to God to help you in an emergency and he's sleeping. Hallelujah. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. It's not that he doesn't do it. He cannot do it. Hallelujah. Question. When I stimulated you not to give to Jerry the question, I like it. That means I'm working.
I was going to say, is it his word? But I was also going to say, when they were in the boat and Jesus was sleeping. So
yeah, that's Jesus as a man. Amen. You're right. Well, that tells you that Jesus was a man. And then Jesus is. You understand what happened in the incarnation. That God became what? Man. It's a model for you, actually. He didn't do it for himself, he did it for us. Amen? He's telling you that though you are man now today, you can also operate in the realms of God as a son, as a daughter of God. Hallelujah. Jesus' life on earth is a model. That's why when people come to me, Christian, and tell me, I'm not Jesus. I think you don't get it. Don't say it again. Don't say I'm not Jesus. That's what you are called to be. That's why he came. He came so that you can be like him. He came to show you that it's possible. Yeah? That it's possible that you can feel sleepy and still stop the storm. Amen? So, please, we need you now to help us stop the storm. Say, I'm still sleepy. The anointing will not work when I'm sleepy. No. Hallelujah. Everything he did to show you the way. He said, I'm the way and the truth and what? And the lie. But when I say God never sleeps, I'm talking about the Father on his throne. Amen. He never sleeps. And what? I know nothing about God. Is maybe I just revealed this to you. He's the one who sits on the throne. He's not the Lamb. He's the Father. Check the Revelation. He said, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Let's go there. Revelation. You know, to understand faith, where you need to know who God is. And you can never know who God is except through his word. The word of God is the God statement. Amen? The word of God is what? That's the evidence. That's the evidence of the reality of God. The word of God contains everything God has said and done over the ages. Can you imagine? The word of God is a record of what God has said and done with real people like you and me. Amen. Someone asked me during the week, he said, we're still going to go there. Someone asked me during the week, he said, oh, why is it that, you know, there is a lot of outstanding miracles in the Old Testament? And it's like, we're not really like seeing many of them now. I said, like, for example, like what? Like, you know, Moses saw the burning bush. I said, okay, another one. I think I suggested that one. I said, okay, the Red Sea was parted. I said, do you know how old Moses was before he saw the burning bush experience? Anybody help me? How old was Moses? How old was Moses when there was a burning bush and God appeared to him and spoke to him? No. He ran away when he was 40. Yeah? 80 years. Moses lived for 120 years. The first 40 years, yeah, he was in the palace of Pharaoh. Until he went out one day and he tried to deliver the children of Israel. He knew that he had been called. You know, you have a calling, it's in you. You must know it. You can run away from it. You can hide under the table, but it's there. It's deposited in you. He said, the gifts and calling of God, they are what? Without what? Repentance. It's an assignment, it's an allocation, it's in your spirit. He knew. But he tried to do it through the arm of the flesh. Yeah? And he failed. But when you think you are trying to do God's work with the arm of the flesh, yeah, you will not do it his way. So you will fail because you will do it in the human way and it will not please God. Because without faith, it's what? Impossible. So he ran away. Then another 40 years, he was in the wilderness taking care of sheep. What was Moses doing for the next 40 years after the palace? Was taking care of sheep. Sheep. Someone say sheep. That's how God taught Moses to be a shepherd. He took care of sheep for how long? 40 years. You know, Moses has a temper. That's why he struck. You know, Moses is not murder the man. Because the punishment for murder is what? He's there. He was manslaughter. He didn't mean to kill him. He just said, the Israelite and the Egyptian. You are bullying my kinsmen. Come here. You are bullying. Just hit him. But don't see good stroke. The man died. It was accidental. He didn't mean to kill him. He just meant to chastise him a little. Hallelujah. So now, he went to learn meekness. Where did he learn meekness? With the sheep. So after 40 years, yeah, of taking care of sheep, God appeared to Moses. That experience was a single one. Amen? So God is still working. You're not going to have burning bush every day of your life. Amen? What did I say? You're not going to have spectacular experiences every day of your life. Because God doesn't want you to live by sight. He wants you to live by what? By faith. Hallelujah. 40 years, the children of Israel were in the wilderness. They ate bread from heaven. They drank water from a rock. They walked through the Red Sea. They saw it. It was parted. They stepped in, walked on it as dry ground, came out. Their enemies chased them, and the sea closed over the enemies. So that's why some scientists can be foolish, or some philosophers. They say, oh, the Red Sea, you know, in the Bible was just shallow water. That's why they could pass through. But that same shallow water destroyed the best army in the world for that day. Hallelujah. Amen. So they saw all those spectacular things. But did they make it to the promised land? No. Amen. If all your life, all you just chasing is spectacular, yeah, you will be deceived. You must be. Because your faith is based on. That's why there are many false churches nowadays, everywhere in the world. Some are using mental magic. Yeah? Should I continue? You want to hear? Mental magic. You know what we call mental magic? Tell me. Mental magic in church. It's not spiritual. They're not using witchcraft. It's witchcraft, but they're not using occult. What is the word for mental magic in the church today? It's mental. Nothing spiritual. But it's still deceiving you. Yes, but that's not the magic. I'm talking about magic. What will impress you in the church?
Fake miracles.
Fake miracles, yes. But let's look at the simple thing. You know, there's a statement. I used to sing it because it was a song of Michael Bull. But I'm not going to say that statement again because I have better revelation. But let me listen to you first. It's just one statement. I don't hate Michael Bull.
It's like they like make you feel good.
Yes, yes. I'm looking for one single English word. Well, no, mental magic. That's a simple word you can use.
Hypnosis?
No. Oh. Yeah, it's a form of emotion, but it's a simpler word.
Using effect.
Effect! Effect! He said, my God is God of special effect. It's a lie. God is not the God of special effects. God is not trying to impress you. He is true. He's true. He's faithful and what? True. When you are trying to deceive, you are trying to impress. Anytime you are trying to impress, watch out. You may be trying to deceive somebody. Hello? God is true. He tells you as it is. God will not even make effort to deceive you to do his will. Amen? Even if deceiving you will make you do his will, that will not be satisfactory to God. Amen? His name is called what? Faithful and true. Hallelujah. No deception. Deuteronomy chapter 2, I think it's verse 4. Or it says, ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is what? Is perfect. All his ways are just. Another version says, all his ways are true. All his ways are faithfulness. Hallelujah. No deception. No what? No deception. It's not the God of special effect. So, they are the effect. They are telling you that, you know, they'll pass you gas through the AC and say, it's gold dust from heaven. You to you. Gold dust fell on my clothes. You're having a spiritual, you're not having a spiritual experience, you're having an emotional experience. Emotion is very powerful. Someone said, I was in the stadium. Sorry, sir, I'm preaching, yeah. There were 70,000 people. And so what? That's an effect. God is not moved by effect. Gideon, he wanted to raise an army. He raised 32,000 and he was still like, they're not enough. God said, no, I don't need 32,000. Gideon struggled. He needed to fight their enemies. They were on their head. And he worked hard. He raised 32,000 men. And Gideon said, this is not enough. What was the size of Russia's army against Ukraine? Anybody? Sorry? Russia's army. How many people did they gather? When the war started in February, whatever. Andrew, any idea? Come on, church. I think it was around 160,000. Yeah? That they've gathered together to fight Ukraine. Gideon gathered 32. But God told him, I say, I don't need 32. And God reduced 32 to what? Anyone? Or 5 pounds? I'm not giving you 5 pounds. You answer too fast. 300. How much? 300. 300 men. That's what God needed to fight this enemy. If Gideon was raising 32,000, it already tells you that the enemy army is more than 32,000. But God said he needed what? 300. Amen. So when you stop focusing on the word, you start looking for effect. What did I say? What did I say? When you stop focusing on the word. Okay. Should I bring it home or not? Even in our lives, when you're over-focused on your presentation, you are not focusing on the word. You think it's your presentation that gives you value? Your presentation is just a top-up. The real content is inside you. Your real beauty is your behavior. Your real beauty is your character. Your real beauty is your faith and your hope and your love. Hallelujah. That's the one you should work on. Work on it. You can get better. Hallelujah. I can get better. Sometimes challenges happen to us in life to force you to change. Sometimes it's God's mercy. You understand? If everything was cool and easy, you would just be feeding only your flesh. You will feed it with what? KFC? And what? Pizza? And what? And makeup? And jewelry? You will be feeding it. You must feed it. Yeah? If as you are getting more comfy, your clothes will change. The ones that qualified before, that one is for the old days. I'm not saying that these things are bad in themselves. I'm saying when they become the focus, you've lost the word. The word is the focus because the word is truth. And the word is evidence. You see, when you form, you know, I was watching a Christian movie. You can watch Christian movies. It's better than watching all the junk on TV. If you search, you know, YouTube, you know, Mount Zion movies, you will see a lot of Christian movies that teach you spiritual truth. And they are still entertaining. It's because God is not against drama. You know, the whole of Revelation was like a drama to John. Revelation. Yeah? God showed him things to come. So it's a drama. Am I right? Because it has not happened yet. Yeah? So what is it? It's a drama. God's not against drama. Yeah? But what do you want that will edify you? So watching this, and you know, there was this man that he was a, as in, witch doctor, occult power. But if you see the conviction, you say, why? No, like some people want to, I remember a case where, you know, people were in the workplace and something was missing and they didn't know what was missing. So they decided to take all the staff to a witch doctor, you know, to swear. Why? Because they believe that if there's a false person and they swear, something will happen, isn't it? Conviction. So the widow has so much conviction in his occultic power. Yeah? But you are a Christian. You don't have conviction in the word of God. God says, this is it. But you don't have conviction. For example, God says, I will never leave you. Nor what? Forsake you. Then you pray, say, God, please, I'm begging you, don't leave me. What did you just tell God? You don't have conviction in that word. Amen? Say, God, please, I'm just hanging by a thread. Don't forsake me. What does that tell God? I don't have conviction in what you say. But if he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, now I'm going through a tough time. Because the Bible never said you won't go through what? Difficult times. It's part of being human. Some days you'll be tired. You'll be sleeping in the bottom of the boat. Like Jesus. And it's okay. You are human. Amen? You are in a trying situation. But you've read the word. You've meditated on it. He said, I will never leave you nor what? Sick. You know what God expects you to take that word to the bank. It's your bank statement. It's what? It's your bank statement. So when you're in a difficult situation, you say, Father, thank you, because although everything is looking upside down, you are with me. That's a good prayer. It's a prayer of faith. You are with me. Say, how do I know that it's with me? Because your word said. And God likes you when you're talking like that. He said, because your word said, you will never leave me. That's faith. Based on his assurance, based on evidence. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, go to Revelation. Let me show you what I showed about God sitting on the throne. I think it's Revelation 5. Let me just teach that. Revelation 5. Revelation chapter 5. No, I'm not sure it's 5 now. maybe it's 8, say salvation to our God. Revelation 8, say salvation to our God. Or the 7, sorry. Yeah? No, that's not what I'm looking for. What I'm looking for says salvation to our God. Revelation what? 5. Thank you. You're going to read it. Please open your Bible to Revelation chapter 5. And then after the service today, I want you to go back and take the book of Revelation electronically or on the internet and search Sit on the Throne. You see, it refers only to the God the Father. Amen. That's his place. It's no shaking. Yeah? You know where God has always been sitting? Where? Where has God always been located? He sits on the throne. Hello? God the Father, where has he always been located? He sits on the throne. When God wants to manifest in the world, who does he send? Jesus. Jesus is the one who reveals the Father. When God wants to move in his power in the world, who does he send? The Holy Spirit. When you say God is omnipresence, what reduces that omnipresence of God? It's the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit was not just sitting on the waters. It's all over. Amen. When you receive the Holy Spirit, he has just come to, you know, give you a local experience of his presence. But it's everywhere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Father, where does he sit? On the throne. No shaking. He sits where? On the throne. He's the God of the universe. Someone said, but Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So where was, this is a message. I don't want to call him a false prophet, but he's one of those prophets in Nigeria, sorry. he was mumbling things upside down. I was like, God does not dwell in heaven. You know, he dwells in your heart. He just mumbled it. And he was like, because when you open the Bible, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So where was God living before he created the heavens? That heaven that God created in the beginning is not heaven, the throne of God. It's heavens like sky and space and stars. Amen? They are heavens. Amen? God is eternal. Yeah? And his throne is what? Eternal. So, when the Bible says in the beginning, it's telling you the start of our own material creation. Amen? Before that beginning, what did you have? The Word. You have the Father on his throne. He's always on his throne. And even at the end of time, his throne will come down. He still remains in the throne. It's just that his throne, yeah, will be merged with the New Jerusalem. Amen? The New Jerusalem is there, and the throne is on top of it. In fact, the throne is not moving. The New Jerusalem is already up there now. We call it Mount Zion. Amen? Mount Zion is up. The heavenly Jerusalem. The city of the living God. God and God's throne sits on top of it. At the end of time, they are coming down together. And we will live in the New Jerusalem. God remains on his throne. Hallelujah. He sits on the throne. Who sits on the throne? The Father. Please read it. Revelation 5:13.
And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever.
Amen. He sits on the throne. Who sits on the throne? The Father. And where does the Lamb sit? At his right hand. Amen. He said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit down at my what? At my right. Amen. We are rounding up now. A few minutes, 1-2 minutes. Let me take the question.
I had another verse.
Yes, go.
Revelation 7:10. And crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.
Yes. Revelation 7:10. Yes, that's what I was looking for. Revelation 7:10. It says, salvation to our God who sits upon the throne. That's the Father. And to the Lamb forevermore. Now, let me say this. There are many songs out there. Remember, I remember this song came on. All heavens declare, and then forever he will be the Lamb upon the throne. If I put in my theological scalpel and I dissect it, it's wrong. Because I'm putting the focus in the wrong place. You may think of technically, well, the Lamb sits at the on the right hand of the Father. But I tell you something. Jesus Christ, Father God, and the Holy Spirit, they are all equally God. Yeah? But they are not equal. They are equally God. The Father is God. Jesus is God. The Holy Spirit is God. But Jesus said, my Father is greater than I. Amen? The Father is greater than the Son. That's why he sent the Son. The Son represents him. And the Son is greater than the Spirit. The Spirit represents it. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will not speak of himself. He will speak what I tell him. Praise the Lord. But there's no disharmony. They are in perfect harmony. It's the perfect model of marriage. If your marriage can be like that, you are perfect. Like the God. They have one purpose. They have one word, one principle. No competition, no contradiction. They work in perfect harmony. Trinity is the best example of unity. Hallelujah. Trinity is what? And let me just throw another one. Let me throw it and we'll finish. Three is the number of unity. What did I say? So if you are married, how many are you? How many are you when you're married? Husband and wife. How many? Two. What did the Bible say? He said the two shall become what? Well, that's not enough. That's what? It's not enough. You need a third person. Bible says at the mouth of two or what? Or three. Have you ever thought about this statement? Why is it two or three? Why not four or five? At the mouth of what? True or what? Or three witnesses. Every word shall be confirmed. Yeah? True. Yeah, is the number of witness. You know, the two witnesses you see in Revelation. But three is the number of perfect witness. Perfect. So you need God in your marriage if you want perfect unity. Amen? Or let me change the word. You need God in your marriage if you want perfect harmony. You can't achieve it too alone. Because one day, selfishness and pride will rear its head as it normally does. And you need God as the moderator. So I need God in my life as the moderator. See, when God is moderating your life, yeah, it will not go awry. Because just before it goes, God will put you right. Amen. We round up there. Let me just summarize the things you've learned today. Key thing is that the word of God is the God statement. Someone say, oh, prove to me that God is real. But don't use the Bible. Now, I want to teach you something. Be bold. You tell them, say, it's like you telling me that I should take away all the evidence I have to present in the court. I should bin it and then go and present the case. How do you know that King James lived? King James, you know King James? You ever met him? Even in your dream? You know what it looks like? Because it's written. That's why you know it was written in a book. Amen? Winston Churchill. Anybody met Mrs. Churchill? You know? In a book. Most of the things you know today, and you don't just know, you believe them. Where do you read them from? Book. Your science book, your geography book. Have you ever been on top of Mount Everest? Have you ever seen it with your two naked eyes? But you believe it's real. Why?
Because
you read it. Some things you didn't even read. Your teacher taught you and you accepted. You believed. Amen? This is the God statement. It tells you everything God has said and done over approximately 4,000 years of human history, which is still the majority. Like, from the time the last book of the Bible was written, yeah, which is Book of Revelation, maybe, I'm just guessing, till now, it has not clocked 2,000 years. So we have a record that gives us 4,000 years of history in which God is speaking and God is doing things. It's the evidence. This is the evidence of your faith. The word of God. The written word of God. When Satan came to tempt Jesus, what did he say? He said, it is what? There is a reason why it is written. There is a reason why it is written. It's legal. If it is written, a written statement is what? It's legal. Can we just go over that again? A written statement is what? It's legal. Hallelujah. Let's rise up and talk to God. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Where's the assurance coming from? It's coming from the evidence of the written statement. Amen? Where is the conviction coming from? It's coming from the evidence of the written statement. Now, this statement is not a bank statement. It's bigger than that. The person guaranteeing this statement is not NatWest. Because NatWest can pack up tomorrow, you know. Okay, I go to NatWest, so I don't want to pack up. But which one packed up recently? Tell me which one. There's one that packed up. So banks pack up. They can pack up. But God cannot pack up. He's where? Where is he?
He's seated.
Where? Did Satan dethrone him? He can't. In fact, God did not even get up for Satan. God gave him time. When Satan was messing, God was just smiling. God did not judge him immediately. No. He's not consistent with his nature. God gave him time to repent. When those thoughts were coming and he was fantasizing about them, God was speaking to him. Yeah, take care of this, sort it out. But when he made the move, yeah, and took one third and wanted, he didn't want to overthrow God. He can't overthrow God. He's a created being. Yeah, but he wanted to run a parallel government. He said, Lord, you do your own thing there. I will do my own thing there. God said, no, there's no room for that. I said, he cast him down. How did God cast him down? It's with a word. It's a word. But he said, cast us by his word. A word. Hallelujah. It's with a word. You go to cast it under, it's just what means what? A word. Talk to God. That is the foundation of your faith. It's the word of God. Until you become convinced that the word of God is true, the word of God is legal, the word of God is reliable, it's guaranteed